obviously, I don't think anything will happen from it, but you never know what, you know, what organization is going to, you know, throw rocks at the Marines, and the Marines will just have to stand there and take it. I would not want to get a Marine upset.
There have been some, and the Marines have been outstanding in this. They've been very professional. They don't, probably a lot more professional than I would be under those circumstances. Mm-hmm. They've been maintaining their bearing and so forth. They haven't been, you know, they've been saying we support their free speech. But they have a job to do, and they need to be able to do that job. And some of the nearby businesses have been complaining about the antics of the protesters. They've been disrupting the sidewalks, practicing yoga, and all kinds of other, you know, making loud noises. And of course, the city council is now helping them by giving them free parking as well.
That's the best part. You know, when they give them a free parking spot directly in front of the Marine recruiting office, full time. I mean, how do you do that? Who do you have to know to be able to get, you know, to get a free parking spot in front of the organization that you're protesting? Probably, is it unlimited? Do they have to pay? I wonder.
I certainly,
no, it's free.
Free parking?
It was free. Yep.
Oh, man.
Absolutely, it was free parking.
I've
for
been
six
to Berkeley.
Months.
You can't even leave your car for 2 seconds without getting a ticket.
Exactly.
You know, well, John. Anyway, I wanted to thank you very, very much for being on Veterans Radio and your support for this. You know, response to this issue. The American Legion is a great organization, and hopefully we can talk with you in the future about some other issues that we think affect America's civilians and military personnel.
Thank you very much. It's been great to be here.
Thank you, John. We'll be talking to you again. All right, back here on Veterans Radio, we're just kind of talking a little bit about what's been going on in Berkeley, California. And when we come back after our Welcome Home segment, we are going to be talking with Jerry Beery, who's from the Operation Fire for Effect. And we're going to be talking about the VA, Veterans Administration, and why there should be mandatory funding, we feel, for that organization. Right now, we're going to be going to Welcome Home. Bob, you ready? You're on.
Thanks, Dale. Welcome home each week on Veterans Radio. We welcome home servicemen and women who've been stationed around the world in the service of their country. Dateline, Arizona. More than 140 soldiers from the Arizona Army National Guard's 1285 Attack Reconnaissance Battalion returned to Marana this afternoon. That's Marana, Arizona, after serving for the last 12 months in Afghanistan. Dateline, North Dakota, 21 soldiers from the North Dakota National Guards, 1-188 Air Defense Artillery Rapid Aerostat Initial Deployment Unit are returning to North Dakota. Dateline, Wausau, Wisconsin, the 397th Engineer Battalion Charlie Company is welcomed home in Wausau for their service in Iraq. Each week, Veterans Radio has Welcome Home. It's sponsored by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. For more information regarding the Marine Scholar Program, visit Ave Maria online at avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. That's the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. 2552.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
How many of you are suffering from some kind of chronic pain? If you are, then you're just one of millions of people our age who just live with it. I strongly suggest that you give Quantum Physical Therapy a call at 734-483-9200. Quantum Physical Therapy is a multifaceted facility providing cutting-edge conventional and alternative rehabilitation services. The highly qualified and friendly staff at Quantum are the movement experts and are committed to coming up with a specific solution for your specific problem. Whether it's pain, weakness, swelling, nerve injury, amputation, disease, or age-related morbidity, they can help you lead a productive life. Quantum Physical Therapy has two locations, one at 5417 Whitaker Road in Ypsilanti, and the other at 6180 Michigan Avenue in Saline. That's Quantum Physical Therapy, 734-483-9200, or on the web at www.qptherapy.com. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and it's time we're going to be talking about the mandatory funding for the VA. We're going to be talking about mandatory full funding for the VA, and our guest on the program right now is Jerry Beery, and Jerry is one of the founders of Operation Fire for Effect. And Jerry, I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio.
Yeah, I'm right here.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, obviously, what is Operation Fire for Effect?
Operation Firing for Effect is a subsidiary of Veterans for Veterans Connection Incorporated, which is home-based in Rochester. We're a nonprofit organization, a veterans rights advocacy group. We fight for the improvement and protection of the entitlements and benefits earned by our men and women in uniform.
Okay, and how did you get involved in it? Let me back up a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your military experience, Jerry.
Well, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I served with the Navy River Patrol Force in Vietnam in 68, recipient of three Purple Hearts and a Bronze Star, and very proud of my military service. After I was hit the last time, I spent a year and a half in the hospital, was retired from the medically retired from the Navy, and rated totally and permanently disabled by the Veterans Administration. And at that time, my father worked for the VA, so my family has been working for the VA for a couple of generations now.
Okay, and let me, I just want to read a little bit from the President's State of the Union address on Monday when he was talking about the, what we're going to be doing for the veterans next. And let's see, it says here, America is a force of hope in the world because we are a compassionate people, and some of the most compassionate Americans are those who have stepped forward to protect us. We must keep faith with all who have risked life and limb so that we may live in freedom and peace. Over the past 7 years, we've increased funding for the veterans by more than 95%. As we increase funding, we must also reform our veterans system to meet the needs of a new war and a new generation. I call on Congress to enact the reforms recommended by Senator Dole and Secretary Shalala, so we can improve the system of care for our wounded warriors and help them build lives of hope, promise, and dignity. It wasn't a whole lot in the State of the Union address, but it does kind of send a message. Could you explain exactly what full mandatory funding is?
Well, let me address the State of the Union address, if it's okay.
Fine.
This is the first time since the Department of Veterans Affairs has been elevated to cabinet level that the words Veterans Affairs has even been mentioned in a State of the Union address. And if you would have noticed, the President requested full funding for the troops that are deployed, but at no time did he suggest that we needed full funding for the Department of Veterans Affairs. He merely stated that they had increased the spending, the budget, by 95%. That doesn't say that it's fixed by any means. But mandatory full funding, the way the system works now is every year the Congress sits down and they bicker about how much money they're going to allocate for the Department of Veterans Affairs to operate on. And there's a number of factors that they use in order to try to come up with the right amount of money. Over the past 10, 15 years, we've noticed that their calculations of what we need and the coalition of veterans organizations is two different things. The VA has fallen short a number of times throughout the fiscal year. What it is basically right now the Veterans Administration is funded under a discretionary system, which means basically that Congress has the right to fund it or not fund it, or fund for 100 wheelchairs rather than 50 wheelchairs. And what it does, it puts politics into the funding mechanism of the VA. All of a sudden we find that Congress is playing political football with the funding issue and putting their pork on it and not agreeing to it unless they get their different attachments put on to the funding issue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what mandatory full funding would do is it would take the politics out of this decision, and it would mean that if the VA needed 500 wheelchairs in the year, that they'd all be paid for.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that this is so essential to our future is, in order for this country to even consider a national health care system, the first thing we have to do is step off the curb and make the commitment to the Department of Veterans Affairs that we will fund it no matter how much it costs, and that it will not be a political football in Congress. The last time it came up on the Senate floor was in 2006, and it was called the Stabenow bill, and it was for full mandatory funding of veterans health care. And all of the Republicans, with the exception of one, voted against it, and all of the Democrats, with the exception of one, voted for it. So Operation Firing for Effect, under the leadership of a spunky little Marine from New York called Gene Simes, has taken the torch on this thing and said, well, we're just going to take this to the grassroots level and let the American people voice their opinion on whether we should have full funding for VA health care. And so far, the response has been absolutely fantastic. It's overwhelming.
I agree. We're talking with Jerry Beery of Operation Fire for Effect, talking about mandatory full funding for the Veterans Administration. You're listening to Veterans Radio here on Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So I have to point out that Senator Stabenow is one of our senators here, and we're very proud that she does sponsor that. Give us a call if you have a comment on mandatory full funding. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We made a couple of many attempts over the last week when we decided we wanted to talk about this to contact a number of different representatives and senators, and unfortunately we didn't get the response that we were hoping for. But I noticed that in New York, especially, that the New York state government, state legislature, did pass a resolution calling for full mandatory funding, right?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, about 2.5 years ago, we authored a resolution calling for full mandatory funding of veterans health care. And since that time, the New York State Senate has adopted it and passed it. Cook County, Illinois, has adopted and passed it. And a number of other counties in Illinois have adopted and passed it. It's been signed by Bill Richardson, the former candidate for President of the United States. It's been signed by Hillary Clinton. Willie Nelson is one of our celebrities. Bill Cosby is another one of our celebrities. And the resolution itself can be found on our website if you go to www.offe2008.org, and you can make a copy of the resolution yourself, and you can have your family sign it if you want to. And our whole objective in this is to send a message to Washington that regardless of who is the President of the United States, the next administration, regardless of what side of the aisle they come from, that the American people demand full funding for veterans health care.
Well, I think it's very important. I was very pleased to see that New York did that. And coming up on Tuesday, even though, you know, this incredible primary election is coming up on Tuesday also, the state of Illinois has a proposal on their ballot to require mandatory full funding for the VA also. So for those listeners out there in Illinois, I don't care who you go out there and vote for or support, but I do wish that you would go out and support this proposal for mandatory full funding. You know, if we don't, we got to get the Congress to get the message out, you know, to get the message from us that this is what we want. Remember, you know, the Congress is supposed to be serving the people, not the other way around.
That's right? Correct. Mm-hmm. And Illinois, we were just so flattered and honored when Illinois not only passed our resolution, but passed the referendum to place the question on the on their primary election ballot coming up in Tuesday. And if you want, I'll read that question to you as voters will see it on their ballot.
Okay, we've got about a minute, Jerry, if you can get that in, do you think?
Sure.
Okay.
It's a yes or no question that will appear on many ballots within the state of Illinois next Tuesday. And the yes or no question is, shall the federal government be required to adopt full mandatory funding of the Department of Veterans Affairs for the purposes of ensuring that all eligible, honorably discharged U.S. veterans receive quality and accessible health care and services?
Pretty simple, straightforward, and we're going to be coming back in about a minute or two. I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Veterans Radio. We're talking about mandatory and full funding for Veterans Administration, and for all of you veterans out there, you can do that. Stay tuned as we swing past the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
Sergeant First Class Tony Burris exposed himself several times to enemy fire to reveal their position. Details after this.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to become a Marine. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, "Good morning, Marine."
PFC Summer Volkman became a United States Marine. Can you? Call 1-800-MARINES.
In the battle for Heartbreak Ridge, when his company encountered intense fire from an entrenched hostile force, Burris charged forward alone, throwing grenades into the position and destroying approximately 15 of the enemy. On the following day, spearheading a renewed assault on enemy positions on the next ridge, he was wounded by machine gun fire, but continued the assault, reaching the crest of the ridge ahead of his unit and sustaining a second wound. Calling for a 57mm recoilless rifle team, he deliberately exposed himself to draw hostile fire and reveal the enemy position. The enemy machine gun emplacement was destroyed. The company then moved forward and prepared to assault other positions on the ridgeline. Burris, refusing evacuation and submitting only to emergency treatment, joined the unit in its renewed attack, but fire from hostile emplacement halted the advancement. Burris rose to his feet, charged forward, and destroyed the first emplacement with its heavy machine gun and crew of six men. Moving out to the next emplacement and throwing his last grenade that destroyed this position, he fell mortally wounded by enemy fire. Inspired by his gallantry, his comrades renewed a spirited assault which overran enemy positions and secured Hill 605, a strategic position in the battle for Heartbreak Ridge.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Len Pitlack, CPA, is an award-winning consultant for the U.S. Small Business Development Center. Let him use his 25 years' experience to bring you, as an individual or small business owner, his professional and courteous tax and accounting services. Give Len Pitlack a call today at 734-993-1313.
Pat the Handyman and his team is ready to help you with your remodeling, repair, and painting projects. Call Pat the Handyman at 734-260-1158. That's 260-1158. Pat the Handyman is a veteran-owned business.
Anyhow, we're back on Veterans Radio. We're talking with Jerry Beery of the Operation Fire for Effect, and also joining us on the line right now is another member of the Operation Fire for Effect, and that's Gene Symes. Is that correct, Gene?
That's correct. Good morning, and thank you for having my public relation officer, Jerry, aboard, a great person, and he identified mandatory funding to the folks out there in the veterans is about as clear as anybody could do it.
Well, I greatly appreciate that, and I just wanted to ask either one of you to talk about some examples that have come up in the past that have gotten you motivated to call for mandatory funding.
I can take that, Gene, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I've been a veterans rights advocate now for over 25 years, and the situation that the VA is in has been developing for over 25 years. It isn't unique to any one particular administration. Both Democrats and Republicans are guilty of ignoring their responsibility to the VA healthcare system. Back in, and the reason I bring this up is because we have to talk about the history of the VA over the past 20, 25 years in order to establish the condition it's in now and the reasons for mandatory funding of veterans health care. Back in August of 1986, the VA hospital in Decatur, Georgia, sent out a memo to all of its diabetic insulin syringe users to use their disposable insulin syringes two times before throwing them away. Now, we have this document. It's on my website. And we, at that time, I wasn't with Operation Firing for Effect. I was just a veterans rights advocate. And I contacted the makers of the syringe, and they said that it would cause undue risk and it wasn't meant for repeated use. And we finally got that particular procedure rescinded. However, it illustrates the only reason that the VA would have requested that its diabetic patients use their insulin syringes two times before throwing them away, the only reason is financial, to cut the insulin syringe budget in half. It wasn't done for the welfare and comfort of the veteran, and it wasn't done because there's a shortage of insulin syringes on the open market. It was done to cut the insulin syringe budget in half. Under mandatory full funding, no matter how many insulin syringes our veterans need, they will get them. So that's just one example, and I could actually quote several, but I'll turn it over to Gene and let Gene elaborate on that.
Well, Dale, the truth of the matter, that's you can't get it any clearer than that. And then you have your 153 VA facilities that are still in operating, and the areas of closures on some of these facilities is what's taught us to step up to the plate to say mandatory full funding has to be there, because the hiring of staff and the hiring of psychiatrists for the purpose of our men and women coming home with post-traumatic stress and brain trauma, it needs to be funded. You know, there's a lot of veterans out there that does not realize, even though they're getting good care, and we're not saying that the VA has bad or whatever care that somebody might presume that it's either bad or good. We're saying that it's out there serving the veterans. But veterans do not realize that if they're getting good care in their VA facility, that's fine. But look what's going on the others, and that's why we took the step to ensure that all VA facilities will get the funding that they need and not direct it to road construction or some other areas that our politicians would prefer sending it to. And that's adding their port to it.
Right. So well, I just want to jump in here and point out to our listeners that we're not saying that you get bad care at the VA. Almost all of us that have ever used their facilities have had great doctors and great care. It's just that sometimes you have to wait a year and a half to get in because they just don't have the staff to meet the veterans' needs, and especially with the the current conflict with those veterans coming home, they just need more people.
And that is correct. That is correct. Because I've had the best care that I could ever get, and I think there's tons of veterans out there. But right now we're looking at a budget cut throughout the nations, not only in the communities, but they're hitting very hard the facilities. And these facilities need to stay in check to accept the ones that are coming back home. And that's a tremendous amount of men and women. If we don't stand up with the voices that we have for mandatory full funding, as we've all projected that in the future we might be cutting back our facilities to mere nothing, but there'll always be a VA facilities, but with the operation not exceeding what we need. And that's the purpose of mandatory funding. Relating it to the U.S. representative and our state representative, because state has an obligation to stand up to the plate and tell the federal government that we don't accept it. We don't accept that mandatory funding is not on the books. They have to accept it, because if we can send our National Guards overseas to fight this war, just like our regulars, mm-hmm. then they're part of the system to stand up with us, sir.
Well, it's true. We're talking with Jerry Beery and Gene Symes of the Operation Fire for Effect here on Veterans Radio. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, please, at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. I'd like to just address some of the myths that some people might have out there about what mandatory full funding might do. And appreciate all the information. You can get most of this from Operation Fire for Effect, if you're interested, at their website, which is, where did I put it? Give me your website, guys.
OFFE2008.org.
That's what it is. OFFE2008.org. Great source of information in there. But let's look at one of these. It says that myth number one, Congress would lose oversight over the VA system if the VA shifts from discretionary to mandatory funding. What's the reality on that?
Jerry?
Well, the reality is that there's still accountability. Everything would still have to be approved. What the way it would work would be, let's say, for example, you would go through a line item, and there were certain things that you would automatically classify as fully funded, whether it be insulin syringes, bedpans, beds, EKG machines, or whatever the VA needs, that they don't have to go through Congress to get approval. But in order to get on the mandatory funding list, it has to be approved through Congress. So once everything is approved, the accountability is there. It's not a blank check for the VA. The oversight, eligibility, everything else will remain the same. The only thing we have done is move the funding for the VA from the discretionary side of the budget to the mandatory full side of the budget.
Okay.
And Dale, you always hear the VA say, you know, if you want funds to be here for the facilities, go to your congressperson. And that's mm-hmm. where we're going now. And then we're taking it one more step higher. And that's not just the president, but the people that make the foundation of this nation. And that's the people out there to realize their voices. And their voices has to carry, because their sons and daughters and granddaughters and grandchildren are out there fighting a new type of a war. And we need to make sure that if Congress doesn't have the voice and if the president can't hear it, well, let's let the people that put these people in office tell them exactly what we need. And that's why we have taken the lead to bring everybody aboard to give their voices out there. And, hey, it's going to happen, my friend.
Well, we know that. We just dropped a call, it looks like, from Oregon. So if the woman who's calling gives us a call back, we'll get you on the air. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We're talking about mandatory full funding for America's veterans. The VVA, Vietnam Veterans of America, their motto, mission, is never again will one generation of veterans abandon another. And we're not going to do that this time. We want to make sure that our veterans coming home get the care that they deserve. And, you know, we make a promise. It's a promise. Even those Marines out in Berkeley, they promise that if you join up, we will take care of you if you get hurt fighting America's battles. And so we want to make sure that message gets out there. Another myth I had here real quickly is actually I'm going to get Barbara on the line here for just a second from Oregon. Hi. Do you want to punch her up, please? Okay. Barbara?
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning. My husband's a Cold War Korea vet. He was over there between 1962 and 64. And our local VA medical center is another one of the casualties of what happens when you don't have mandatory full funding. We no longer have medical care of close to the veteran in our area. If you need to be inpatient, you either have to go to Spokane, Washington, or Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington. The local VA hospital is nothing more than a clinic. They have five or six inpatient beds for detox and nursing home care, but that's it. We have doctors and PAs over at Walla Walla and no medical beds. If you need to go have a emergency, you're directed to go to the emergency room at your local hospital, and then you fight like a dirty dog to get the Veterans Administration to pay the bill. We've seen it over and over again.
Okay, Barb, we're going to address that question as soon as we come back. We're coming up on a break right now. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Gary Lilly & Associates is now Sperry Van Ness Lilly & Associates, the newest Michigan affiliate of a leader in the commercial real estate industry, Sperry Van Ness. More than 800 Sperry Van Ness advisors in 136 markets sold nearly $11 billion in commercial real estate last year. That was done by putting the client's interest first, thereby generating maximum return for every property. When we list a property, we immediately place it on 6 internet commercial listing services and email it to 40,000 prospective buyers and 60,000 commercial brokers. We offer to split the commission 50-50. That means your interests, not ours, are placed first. To learn more, call Sperry Van Ness Lilly & Associates Commercial Realtors at 800-345-6694. That's 800-345-6694. Be advised, there is a difference.
Okay, we're back on Veterans Radio. We can see that our computer is still messing up with some messages that we're trying to get out there. But we're talking about mandatory full funding, and I wanted to just address the issue of how can we get a hold of our politicians here? Because we've got 25 million veterans out there, and not one of the candidates that's running for president currently has mentioned veterans' benefits in any of the debates that I've heard. Gene, I'm going to ask you that question.
Well, we had Governor Bill Richardson that was a candidate for the presidential. He wrote a fantastic a piece on what he would do if he was president of the United States. We have Hillary Clinton, Senator Hillary Clinton, to sign a resolution and also spoke over here in New York about it. And several of the other candidates, I believe, if Jerry can enlighten me on that, spoke a little bit about it, but not very much. The task is that we have to take and make sure whoever is the winner of this race, we monitor, not just take them for the word, but we monitor them completely. This is an issue that us as veterans and family members have to participate. And, you know, Dale, please let Jerry explain to you the medical alert, because I think he's the individual that put the script together to make it work, and we've had it working real good through the ideas. Jerry?
Yeah, well, what it is, Dale, last year we came out with a medical alert advising veterans that if they had a medical emergency, not to go to a VA hospital, to call 911. And we did this at the recommendation of the VA. Mm-hmm. If you call any VA hospital nowadays, they will tell you, if this is an emergency, hang up and call 911. This is a sign. It's a very obvious sign that the Veterans Administration is doing everything that they possibly can to avoid paying for health care for veterans. They're looking for ways. And one way that they do that is by discouraging the veteran from coming to the VA hospital. We have been monitoring VA hospitals across the country. Spokane, Washington used to have an emergency room, a 24-hour-a-day emergency room. They've now cut that back, and it closes at 4:30 in the afternoon. And we have a number of cases in Spokane where veterans have actually died because they went to the VA hospital and they were closed when they got there. We've got two deaths related to that, and two near-death experiences related to that. So,
I was just going to jump in and say that we know that the VA, because of the budget that they were under over the last 10, 15 years, have had to make constant cutbacks on their services. And, you know, and then they come up with this new idea that says, well, we're going to put more veteran, you know, clinics out there. Well, you know, somebody that wants to go to an emergency room, I realize that they'd still be covered no matter what emergency room they go to. But the VA emergency room will already know most of the medical history of that particular person. Isn't that correct?
But you're a little bit incorrect on one part. The VA, unless you have a prior approval for medical treatment outside the VA. Now, there is a bill in Congress right now, and I haven't got the bill number in front of me, to authorize mandatory payment of emergency services for eligible veterans outside the VA. But in general, in 2003, I actually had to declare medical bankruptcy because the VA refused to pay a medical emergency for me. So it's not as cut and dry as most people would think. A lot of veterans, and their families are being stuck with medical bills, extravagant medical bills that the VA should have taken care of.
Well, I agree, and I want to thank Barbara from calling from Oregon. Hopefully we can get some of those things taken care of for you, Barbara. Thanks for calling Veterans Radio.
You're welcome.
I want to get back to the issue of
our mandatory funding, and then we can see what else is coming up. I know that Illinois is on Tuesday, and then in your information that New Mexico is going to be going next, and they're active in California also, or that your organization is.
Well, they're active in New Mexico. Yesterday, I got an email from Michigan. They're moving forward with that. They have taken a look at what California has been processing, the initiative petition to the folks out there through Rusty Rustin in Huntington Beach. And also what's happening in Cook County, this is all movement that is going on. Oregon is also getting a taste, and Iowa's getting a taste of it now, too. Virginia is going to be the next shot come Monday. But it can't be done without these issues being heard. And each example that we've given you, that Jerry has given you, and a little bit that I have thrown in there, it's very important. You said earlier, how do we get our representatives to pay attention to what's out there and to do and not to ignore it? Well, the best thing to do is go and call the Capitol. Give them a call and let them know. Talk to your representatives. Pound on it. Veterans, we can't sit back. You can go to OFFE. You can find the directions there, whatever you might need. But the important part is sound out with your voices and don't say that you can't do anything. It's just a waste of time, because it isn't a waste of time. As we proved that through, I think it was Don Schulte, Jerry, that pushed the allowance for transportation, and we pushed a heavy issue on that. Also, it's on our medical alert. Now it's up to 28 cents. I can't say that we were the driving nail on that, but I tell you, we was the driving force on it, Jerry.
Yeah, in fact, I'll tell you that we were the driving force on that, because that was an issue that we took on several years ago. The pay reimbursement for veterans traveling to a VA hospital was at 11 cents and had been at 11 cents since 1978 or 79. And I think that us bringing it to light is directly responsible for it now being increased to 28.5 cents a mile. So don't underestimate what we're doing, my brother. I think that the Hill heard us loud and clear on that issue.
Oh, you bet your life. But we give a lot of our veterans credit out there, and that's what I do. It's essentially, I don't alleviate from what we've done, but giving the credit to all those out there that supported the initial push that OFFE did with the allowance on the transportation. I think this is what made it happen, and we're not done yet with that, because a 28.5 is still insufficient to for transportation. You have the Native American Indians that travel over 400 miles to get to a VA hospital. You know, this is something that has to be taken care of. So how do we do it? Hey, you make that call to Washington, 202-225-3121. Hey, and ask the operator for the person you want to talk to, your representative. That's how you do it. And then get right after your state representative, just as Jerry and I and the rest of OFFE has done to New York and the rest of the state representative. Arnold Schwarzenegger, let me say something real quick on his issue. His state chairman, representative, I was talking with her early this year, and I said, ma'am, says, you know, we need your support for mandatory full funding to let the federal government know exactly where we stand. She says, well, you know, that's a federal issue. That's not a state issue. That's why I came with the remark earlier. Mm-hmm. I says, well, then let's do this. Let's get a letter and let's get all our National Guards back from overseas that is fighting. Because if that's only a federal issue, then our state shouldn't be involved in it. That phone almost went dead. And now we're waiting, and she agreed after that that we were right. We need the support of the state.
Absolutely.
So through that, Rusty Russin filled out the application so we can get a conference call with the governor to let him know that he has to stand in front of that and support mandatory funding in California.
I totally agree, and I want to make just got a little note passed to me that the IRS allows a deduction of 42.5 cents per mile for business expenses. So it just, you know, if it's 28.5, that's nuts. But I got one last question for you, gentlemen, because we're running up on the top of the hour. Again, we know we could always go for many hours on some of these topics. One of the questions was that the veterans' health care, why don't we just privatize it? Because the system is too big and inefficient and unresponsive to veterans right now. Wouldn't it be cheaper if we privatize it and let private industry run it?
Ha. No, and I'll tell you why. Let me have this one, Gene.
Go right ahead, brother. You better blow them away.
Okay. For a couple of reasons. The first reason is that injuries, illnesses, and diseases that come from combat and military-grade materials are unique to the military. And therefore, we have to have a Department of Veterans Affairs that conducts research, provides therapy, medicines that are unique to military service. It's an entirely different ball game than the injuries, illnesses, and diseases that you get in the private sector. That's the first reason. The second reason that we want to, and probably the most important reason that we want to salvage the VA healthcare system, is in the event of a natural disaster or a terrorist attack. You know, we had Hurricane Katrina and we had the fires in California, and both of those were devastating to property, but we didn't see large amounts of casualties. If we ever have a dirty bomb go off in New York City, and we have tens of thousands of casualties, we are going to need a nationwide health care network to help coordinate the effort to contain and treat whatever the situation might be. So the VA is very, very vital to our health care national security in dealing with potential chemical, biological, nuclear, natural disaster, whatever it might be. And so those are the two primary reasons that we really must maintain the VA. And the third reason is that, like I said at the beginning of our conversation, if we're going to build a universal health care system, it's going to be modeled on the VA health care system because it's the largest health care system in the world, and it is established. So the
absolutely
first thing,
right. Guys, I've got to cut you off. I'm really sorry to do this. This topic is so very important, but I want to thank both of you, Gene Symes and Jerry Beery from Operation Fire for Effect, for being on Veterans Radio, and we'll have you on again. I want to point out real quickly that you are having a symposium in April that we will promote vigorously when that comes up. I want to thank you both for being on our show. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you for agreeing to be our supporter on the network.
We'll be back. All right. Wow. It's a lot of stuff. And we're running up against the top of the hour, folks, and so we really can't address a lot of issues here as we go. But we want to make sure that you just keep on top of this issue because, again, one generation of veterans helping another. If we don't do it, nobody else will. Gary, you had something you wanted to say real quickly.
Just talking about the VA healthcare system, I attended a hepatitis C symposium. The doctor said that the best hepatitis C treatment right now is in the VA healthcare system. The MRI was developed by the VA system. Burn treatment, PTSD, no one does it better.
That's absolutely true. Well, despite our technical difficulties, our program has been sponsored by the Marine Scholars Program, Quantum Physical Therapy, Legal Help for Veterans, Len Pitlack, CPA, Schrader Yachts, Sperry Van Ness, Lillian Associates, and Pat the Handyman. Coming up on next week's program, we're going to be taking a look at gunships, our third program on helicopters, and we're going to be talking with people who flew Hueys in Vietnam and flew Apaches in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think it's going to be a really interesting program, and we've got some great stories that are going to be coming along. By the way, if you have a story that you would like to have us cover on Veterans Radio, please just send us an email, and we'll get back to you and talk to you about that. The other thing, our good friend Elliot Storm's book is out there. These Scars Are Sacred. Go to our website. You can find that information. Until next week, you are dismissed.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of our guests and are not necessarily those of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.